I'm going to ask you to help me recap. The title of the sermon was? Say again? End well, nearly. Finishing well, good. The title of the sermon was Finishing Well. And what we're going to do this morning is just finish well by just clearing up. And there was specifically something that was not covered last week, which we're going to cover. And it's summed up in a question which we didn't look at last week. Well, we looked at the answer to this question for lots of reasons. We looked at the life of Job, and we looked at the life of Paul, and we saw two people who used God-given keys in order to finish well. Job used two keys that we looked at. One was worship. When everything he had, except his wife and his life, was taken away, he worshipped. He used the key of worship. And he also used the key we saw from chapter 42 of praying for others. Because we read in Job chapter 42 that Job, when he prayed for his friends, that's when God blessed him with twice as much as he had before. So those are the two keys: worship, praying for others. And then the third key we looked at from the life of Paul was faith. Keeping the faith, holding the faith, running the race until the end. We also looked at some of Jesus' words, and he said it twice. He said, "Whoever stands firm till the end will be saved." In other words, we have to finish well because it's where we end up that's important. The journey's important because if we don't have that route, that journey, we won't end up there. If we're not saved on earth, we won't end up saved in heaven. So the journey is important, but it's a process, not the purpose. And the purpose is where we finish. And I don't know, you can probably hope, well, perhaps even look at your own life. But definitely if you look at the life of others, you'll see people who started off following Jesus and then for various reasons fell away. And we shouldn't be surprised, because Jesus told us in the parable of the sower that only a quarter of the seeds, those sown in good soil, would produce fruit. So we shouldn't be surprised when that happens. But what our job is to do, our responsibility is to make sure that the seed sown in us produces fruit. And the seeds that we sow in others produce fruit. That's what fathering is about. You sow a seed into somebody else. A life is created, and then you want to make sure that that seed is grown, is nurtured, is prospered. So those were three keys we looked at last week. We looked at worship, we looked at praying for others, we looked at having faith. But I have a question: of what use is a key if there's no lock in the door? If there's no lock in the door, then having a key is no good. So what we're going to do this week is we're going to finish this short series, but take a step back and just look at what that lock is in the door. Now, that might still be a bit cryptic for you, but hopefully not for long. If there are keys to finishing well, what is it that is the lock? Shout out an answer if you have one, but if not, then I'm going to give you some clues. We looked at the life of the sporting life of Derek Redmond. If you know his marriage, it was a high profile marriage. Derek Redmond, Sharon Davies, probably before the time of most of you. But their marriage didn't finish well. But I asked about his sporting career. Did Derek Redmond's sporting career finish well? And these pictures are Derek Redmond. If you have time after the service, even using 3G, have a look. It's just 2.5 minutes. Search Google for Derek Redmond 1992 Olympics. Derek Redmond 1992 Olympics. And if you don't end up crying, you can have a piece of my Toblerone. Because even though I've seen it lots, I usually end up crying. Derek Redmond is this British athlete. In 1991, he'd won a gold medal for the 400-meter relay. The British beat the American team. And in 1992, he went to Barcelona. And he was running in the semi-final of the 400 meters. And he said he heard a noise and he thought he'd been shot. It was so loud, the noise that he heard, that he thought he'd been shot. and his hamstring had popped, and he was unable to run. So he hobbled. And I might even cry now, so bear with me. It's Father's Day, so I'm allowed to cry on Father's Day. This older, slightly more rotund man than Derek Redmond came running. And the officials tried to shoo him away, but he wasn't having any of it. He told the officials where to go, because this is Mr. Redmond Sr. And Mr. Redmond Sr. went onto the track to try to take his son off the track, because he realized he would do damage to himself if he carried on. But the son had the final say, so Mr. Redmond Sr. said to himself or to Derek, if you're going to carry on running this race, then I am going to run it with you. Now, it's not running, because he couldn't run. He was hobbling, and he was in anguish. But the question I asked was this: did his sporting career finish well? So we're going to take a step back, but also, and just using Derek Redmond's life briefly at this beginning for an introduction, go forward. What's beyond the finishing line? That's the title, Beyond the Finishing Line. So if it's important to finish well, what's beyond? Derek Redmond, shortly after this, was told by a surgeon that he would never run again, nor would he represent his country in sport. That's what he was told by the surgeon. And not because he wanted to prove himself. I mean, athletes tend to like challenges. But he went on to represent his country in basketball. And even beyond that, had a trial to represent England in the Rugby Union Sevens as well. So although his athletics career didn't finish well, his sporting career did. Because he represented his country not only in one sport, but two. He played, and then he went on to play professional and semi-professional rugby union as well. So this is shortly after the finishing line for Derek Redmond, but beyond the finishing line were more careers in which he did well. So for the Christian, for those of us who follow Jesus, getting to the finish line is hard. Getting to the finishing line is hard. That's why Jesus said, and he said it twice in Matthew, whoever endures till the end will be saved. He said it twice. It wasn't a slip of the tongue. He wanted to emphasize the fact we have to endure till the end if we want to be saved. But there's something beyond the end. There's something beyond the finishing line. It's important to finish well because of what follows. It's important to finish well because of what follows. Let me ask this question. Maybe ask it in two ways. Either, what is at the end? Let me ask that one first. What's at the end? For each one of us, what's at the end? If we endure till the end, we'll be saved. But to have the fullness of salvation, away from the presence of sin here on this earth, to where will we need to be? In heaven. And if we're in heaven, unless Jesus returns, what needs to happen? We have to die. We have to die. Now, fathers know that, because in order to sow life into somebody else and follow that up by nurturing it, lots of things have to die. It might be a sporting ambition or the amount of time we give to other things or other people, but that has to die, and fathers know that. We have to die in order to get to heaven. Death represents the finishing line, but there's something beyond that finishing line. Let me ask this question. Is death the end of the beginning or the beginning of the end? Which one? I'm sure you know the difference. Which one is it? It's the... You could see, I'm just hearing a blur. I feel like the lecturers at university asked us a question in a small group and we... and hope that they might hear three words. So yeah, I heard beginning and I heard end. Okay, correct answer. Death is the end of the beginning. It's the end of the beginning. Because then everything else follows. This is just the beginning. That's why we have a different perspective on life to those who don't follow Jesus. It's just the beginning. If this is all there is, then there's no use us being here on a Sunday when it's sunny outside. We may as well go and run if we like running, or sunbathe if we like sunbathing, or eat food if we like food, or eat chocolate. I always tell the children there's food and then there's chocolate. It's not food. It's empty calories. We may as well not be here if death is the end. Let's be frank. Let me ask you another question. What's the worst thing you can say to the preacher? Try me. Go on. Try me. Say it. Go on. You're false. Okay? Try something else. Try something else. Say something bad. Look, imagine it's not me if it's hard for you. If you want... The worst thing, I think, that you can say to a preacher, Paul gives us a clue in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 14. He says this, if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is in vain, useless. The worst thing that you can say to a preacher, maybe false is actually worse. Oh, that's a good answer. Because false is you're actually doing harm. But useless means, David, you may as well not have bothered. What on earth are you trying to say? We may as well look at our phones. If you say to a preacher, it has no use, your sermon has no use, it's not as bad as saying you're false. It's a good one. but it's you know, why on earth did you bother preparing? Why on earth are you bothering to preach? But why does Paul say that? He says, if what, then preaching is useless. If? Louder? If Jesus wasn't raised. If Jesus wasn't raised, then our preaching is useless. And it's not just the preacher. Let me ask this question. On whom do you have the greatest pity? Maybe think. It might be quite personal. Or maybe more general. On whom do you have the greatest pity? Maybe don't answer that one aloud, but just think on it. Who, when you think of that person, pity comes up inside of you? Or those people? Who might it be? Because Paul says this in the same chapter, just a few verses on, in verse 19. He says, if only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all. If only for this life we have hope in Christ. We have hope in Christ. Christ is in us, Paul tells us in Colossians chapter 1, 27. He's the hope of glory in us. And we have hope in him. But if that hope is only for this life, then we are those who deserve to be pitied the most. If this is all there is, we deserve the greatest pity. If people see from the ground floor or come on up, as two Spider-Men did last week and sat at the back of church, if they see what we do here in church and it's only for this life, then we're to be pitied more than anyone. We're to be pitied more than anyone. So let's go back to the lock. What might the lock be? There are different keys that we looked at last week. Again, maybe don't answer just yet. But what is the lock that means we're not to be pitied? Which means we're to be not envied but emulated, because we have the hope that everybody else longs to have. So I don't think it's just a preacher who's wasting his time or breath. You're wasting your time listening to me if it's only for this life that we have hope. And then the next consideration is this. If we need hope beyond this life, then we're foolish if we live as if this is all there is. Because we know that this is not all there is, and we know that because of Jesus. We know that because Jesus isn't dead. We know that God isn't dead because God speaks to us now. We know that God isn't dead because Jesus proved himself when he came back from the dead. Faith without what is like a key without a lock. Faith without... Okay, if I was preaching from James, I'd give you that, okay? But we're preaching from Paul, and we're looking at 1 Corinthians 15. So let me ask these other questions. Dong, there's four questions on one slide. There's something, and the answer's on the slide, maybe don't give it just yet. There's something that transforms perishable. It's the same thing that transforms dishonorable. The same thing that transforms weakness. And the same thing that transforms the natural. There's one thing which transforms all of those four things. The perishable, the dishonorable, the weak, and the natural. And it's in 1 Corinthians 15. Do you have the questions? Maybe put them up now. And then the answers here. Resurrection is what transforms. Resurrection requires what? Death. There cannot be a resurrection without death. So we need to finish well because we have a hope of the resurrection. Jesus finished well. If any of us think we had a tough course to run, and we looked at two people last week who had tough courses to run, Job in the Old Testament and Paul in the New. Their courses were tough. Jesus' course was even tougher. He came from a greater glory. He had a deeper work to do. A work which involved him going down to the depths. Because of Jesus' resurrection, because of Jesus' death, that's why we have communion, to remember Jesus. Which one? Paul commands us to remember his death. Now, it seems morbid. It might seem morbid, but we're commanded to remember not the resurrection of Jesus. Communion is a command to remember the death of Jesus. There was a hearse that went past today. I think you got held up behind it today. We're commanded to remember Jesus' death. Now, we know that he rose from the dead. And the command to remember Jesus' death is until when? Until Jesus comes. We're not going to have communion when Jesus comes back. We're not going to have communion of bread and wine in heaven because we're going to have this kind of communion. We're not going to need something physical to remember Jesus because we're going to have the most intimate communion in heaven. So when we have communion here on earth, it's remembering a death, looking back, which isn't morbid because we're looking forward to when we won't need something physical by which to remember Jesus, because he'll be with us. We'll be with him, rather. So it's necessary for death to transform the perishable into the... That was an easy one, but your grammar's not good. It's not unperishable, but imperishable. That's better. Okay. So the perishable is transformed to the imperishable by death and the resurrection. The dishonorable is transformed into the honorable. Good. The weak or weakness is turned into power. I'll give you strength. The answer is in 1 Corinthians 15 if you're unsure. And the natural is transformed into the spiritual. It's death, or it's resurrection, which requires death. There can be no resurrection without death. It's resurrection which requires death that transforms the perishable into the imperishable, the dishonorable into the honorable, weakness into power, according to the New International Version. I'll give you strength, it might be your version, and the natural into the spiritual. It's important to finish well because of what follows. Because this isn't all there is to life. There is more to life than this. Now, we touched on it last week. And last week there were 5 weeks left for Little Gates. So this week there are 4 weeks left for Little Gates. There are 4 weeks left for Little Gates. Now, Little Gates, if you don't know, is our preschool. From about 2005, we met Shofar around about that time, to 2010, it was in the planning. 5 years of planning. And then from 2010 to 2015, 5 years of running. And for the last 5 years, initially in a home, and for the last 4 years in the Salvation Army building at the other end of Kingston Road, Little Gates has run. And it's run well. And it's taught children, and it's not just taught children how to read and write, but taught children about the God who invented reading and writing. It's taught children about the importance of reading the Bible, which is why it's important for children to learn to read and write. Not so that we can go to school, get a degree, get a job, get money, support a family. Children need to learn to read so that they can read God's word. That's why children need to learn to read, so that they can read God's word. And Little Gates has done that. So it is better than many of the other schools. But it's different to many of the other schools because it has also taught children why it's important to learn to read. And then it's represented Jesus to families, and there's now a small group running in Little Gates, which is great, because we've not had that in the time that we've had Little Gates. But now at the end, it's important that Little Gates finishes well. Hanku, together with the help of some of his family, would set up most Sundays during term time. Faithful service, not just chairing a board, but on the ground as well. Teachers, Sarah, Meg, Charlotte, currently teaching in the school, and other teachers who've gone before, others who've covered when they haven't been able to do it. Now, death isn't easy. Death creates in us a whole range or host of emotions. But unless Little Gates dies, then it will not come to life. That's what I believe most firmly, and Fred has confirmed this. Unless Little Gates dies, it will not result in life. So it's important to finish well over the next 4 weeks, and then to acknowledge that it has died, so that it can bring life. Paul says in that same Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 15, he says, what you sow does not come to life unless it dies. What you sow does not come to life unless it dies. So we can have a whole host of emotions about Little Gates closing, but whatever those emotions are, if we somehow try to hold on to a life that needs to die, then it's not going to work. It's not going to fulfill its purpose. So what emotions come to your mind if you think death? Maybe you've encountered the death of someone close. Or if not, then you probably will. John and Rita lost siblings recently in the last few months. So they're the only siblings on each side of their family now. I wonder what emotions they had. But what emotions? I mean, maybe there's not time to answer. But here's two. One's sorrow. But the other, speaking to Christians, is hope. Death is sorrowful, and death is hopeful. So Little Gates will have memories for people and salaries for people, and it's going to stop. So there will be sorrow, and it's important to acknowledge sorrow. But because we're Christians, there's also hope, because God has a plan for Little Gates, and he's beginning to show some of it. Even though we don't know exactly what that is, God has a plan for Little Gates, but it has to die in order for that plan to be effective. So not only is death sorrowful, and it's important that we recognize whatever those emotions are, whether it's Little Gates, or whether it's a relationship, or whether it's a job, or a career, or living in a certain country, or whatever it is, Little Gates might impact you very closely, or maybe not, but whatever it is that impacts you, things have to die for life to come. If you've recently had to leave someone or leave something, if life is going to come, then death needs to happen. And there's a whole host of emotions that go with that. But acknowledge them, if it's sorrow. But don't stop at sorrow, because we're Christian. We have hope in Christ. not only do we have hope in Christ, but Christ is in us the hope of glory, Paul tells us in Colossians 1:27. So there's also hope. Hope that Little Gates will come to life, however, wherever, whoever. But not only is death sorrowful and hopeful, death is essential. If we try to avoid it, if we try to go around it and not through it, then we can't fulfill the purpose because the life won't come. There's some problems that we can avoid, but in life, according to 1 Corinthians 15, and Paul devotes nearly a whole chapter, and it's quite a lengthy chapter, maybe read it in your own time. It's important. The resurrection is important, and we cannot have resurrection unless we have death. We wouldn't be having communion in a couple of minutes' time if Jesus hadn't died. So whether it's Little Gates, or whether it's a country, or a relationship, or a person, or whatever it is, things need to die in order for life to come. So Little Gates, we don't know what's beyond the finishing line, but we know the finishing line. This academic year, 4 weeks from now, and then about 4 weeks after that, we give back the building. Those are what we know. So we'll do it, and we'll finish well. And if you want to be a part of it finishing well, if you've got time to help, we probably will need time over the summer, because that building's got to be given back, and there's a lot of stuff in that building. That's just practically. We don't know what's beyond, but we do know the finishing line. Derek Redmond didn't know what was beyond that finishing line, but he knew he was going to get to that finishing line. He was going to complete that race. If you look at the records, the Olympic records, it will say he did not finish. Because? It's not there. Because of his father. He had help, so he didn't finish. But he did finish. And let's be honest, you know, if we look at our own lives, where would we be without God? Where would we be without God? What would we have finished without God? Would I have got what I have now? Would you have got what you have now if it was not for God coming alongside us? And when we're hobbling and broken and need picking up, that's what he does. But God didn't make us just to stumble over a finishing line. God made us not just to endure. Jesus said that we need to endure to the end to be saved. But then beyond that, there's an enjoyment of heaven, of being in Jesus' presence. So we're made not only to endure, but also to enjoy. God didn't make us just to stumble over a finishing line. God made us to get to the finishing line, and then for what's beyond, behind, for what we're going to encounter after that. And for Derek Redmond, it meant a couple of other sporting careers. And he didn't know that when he was going to that finishing line, but he knew that he was going to get there. Jesus knew what was beyond the finishing line. And because he knew what was beyond, he went all the way to the finishing line. Now, we might look ahead at the next 4 weeks if we're at Little Gates, or the next 4 months if we're in a new country and looking through to work, or the next 4 years if we're parenting a child, maybe the next 4 decades, or somewhere in between. If you want to know, ask John and Rita, because they've been there and they've done it. However long it is, we take our hope from Jesus. We take our hope from Jesus. How did Jesus overcome? How did Jesus overcome? How did he overcome the devil, Matthew chapter 4, when the devil tempted him? So the devil said, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread." And Jesus overcame him by the word of God. So how do we overcome? Now it's not the same. Well, it is the same, okay? It is the same, but there's a bit more. Jesus overcame the devil by using God's word. Jesus himself is God's word. And because Jesus is God's word, we can overcome. Have a look at Revelation 12, just as we go into communion. Verse 11. Revelation 12 and verse 11. Sorry, 12:11. Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of whose testimony? Their testimony. Okay. Something very spiritual and something very, very natural. The blood of the Lamb, spiritual language for something spiritual. And it's the combination of the spiritual and the natural that by which we overcome in this earth. Jesus had to speak those words to the devil to overcome him. And I'm going to ask, I said earlier, bring prophecy or word, but not testimony. And I said we'd leave that till later. When we have communion, do it in, we'll have probably in twos. I think that's the best. And share testimony, either testimony of your salvation or testimony of being here today after what happened this morning or what happened last night, being in this country at this time, being solvent, whatever it is, just share testimony. Being saved more than anything. If you're stuck, just go with that. Because if you're not saved, then you shouldn't be having communion. So give your salvation testimony as you have communion. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, spiritual, and the word of their testimony, and the combination of the spiritual and the natural are the means by which we can overcome. Overcome means getting to the finishing line and then going beyond. We don't know what's beyond the finishing line. We've just arrived looking for work. You may have just about embarking on a new business or a new phase or season in your life. And you're thinking, how on earth will I get to that finishing line? Derek Redmond, how on earth will I get? It's only 400 meters. I've done it so many times, but how am I going to get there? And his father came alongside him and helped him to get there. And beyond that, despite what the surgeon said, there was professional careers and representing his country in more than one sport. We don't know what's beyond. We need to finish well, because beyond the finishing line is what God has for us. So whatever it is, we're going to have communion. If someone can hear me in the back, perhaps bring it through. And if it's not here in 30 seconds, someone from this side, go there. We're going to have communion. Remembering Jesus' death. Remembering Jesus' death. Bread representing, crackers representing the body of Jesus. Juice representing the blood of Jesus. But just as you have communion in pairs, share testimony, because it's the means by which we overcome. So keep the cracker, keep the little cup, and don't have them, we'll drink and eat together. But what you can do, as soon as you're in a pair, I'll probably put you in them, then just share testimony. And just as you're getting into your pairs, I'm going to help you. Dong's going to share one that he wants to share with more than his partner.
I just wanted to share this because I felt I've been meaning to share for a while, but today I think seems like the right timing. So you guys know that I started a prayer group at my workplace. So when I switched on to my current job, which is surgery, I knew the prayer group had to stop. But the week before, I felt there was a word at small group, essentially saying What if it does not die? Well, the word is it has to die before it can sort of bear fruit. And later I found out that the nurses on the ward has actually, since we've been doing a small group and stopped, started their own small group. And they've been doing it most days of the week. And I was able to go back on at the end of one of my surgical night shifts and be part of that. So they'll carry it on. And you know, they're the nurses of the ward, that they'll sustain it, essentially. So something that died brought life.
Thank you. Thank you, Doug. So we don't know what's beyond. But first, let's look back before we remember Jesus' death in the way that he commanded us. Just share a testimony of whatever. Maybe just take 30 seconds each, and then I'll give an indication that it's time to swap. Please swap if you haven't yet done that.
We will overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Everyone overcome. Savior, worthy of honor. Jesus, awesome in power forever, awesome and great is your name. Oh, you overcame power in hand, speaking the Father's plan, sending us out, light in this broken land.
And I don't want to say stop, but let me say pause, and then after we've had communion, you can carry on. So just to get the children up soon, but yeah, please continue. And don't stop with that person. If you've shared it with that person, and they're blessed, and I see people smiling, then share it with other people. Share it even today, that testimony or another testimony. Testimony is important because what... I asked last week, what does testament mean? And maybe we should ask the lawyer again. Testament means covenant, promise. I will, this will happen. And testimony is speaking of that which has, bearing witness. That's what we're doing, bearing witness to what God has done. We're telling people that which God has done. And when we eat a cracker and drink juice, or however it might be that we do it, when we do that, we're telling ourselves what God has done in Jesus. So Lord Jesus, we honor you. We honor you for submitting yourself to the will of your Father and putting your own will underneath. Lord Jesus, as we eat, we do so thankful that you make us into one body. Thankful that we're not on our own. Thankful that we don't run this race of following Jesus alone, but with others. And Lord Jesus, thank you that you came and lived on this earth and died on this earth so that we can follow you. Lord Jesus, be honored as we eat now in your name. Amen. Let's eat together. Lord Jesus, your blood is the means by which we overcome. Thank you that no accusation of the enemy is able to remain when your blood is applied. God, I come against the enemy and his schemes even now to speak to people, to tell them that they're not worthy. We cancel those lies. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you overcame and that we overcome as we apply your blood over our lives. And God, we remember the children downstairs and we speak the power of your blood and the protection of your blood over them as well. God, we speak it over your body. Provision and protection and power and purpose. Lord Jesus, we honor you. The name above every name. We honor you as we drink together now. Let's drink together. God, thank you that you make us into your people. When we were not a people, you make us into your people. Thank you, Jesus, that you taught us to pray to our Father. That you bring us into relationship with God, and not just any old relationship, but the relationship of Father and child. And thank you that that is collective. Thank you that we have many siblings in this room, in Weybridge and Walton and Hersham, across those countries where Shofar is, and with neighbours in other parts of your body, just a few metres away and many thousands of miles away. Father, thank you that you father well your family across the whole earth. And thank you that we can submit ourselves and the families we represent to you, God, as our Father. Have your way with us and use us, God. Use us, we pray, to bring your way here on this earth so that others can come and taste and see that you are good. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you want to carry on sharing testimony, then do. If you need prayer, either request that prayer where you are. If it's prayer for healing, then we have oil here. Come to the front and we'll anoint you as commanded in Scripture. We're going to confirm dates for Encounter 1 and Encounter 2 that are coming up. But otherwise, speak to your small group leader during the week. Have a blessed week. We're going to go and take a trip this afternoon to Kids Club. It's a youth ministry that started with Bill Wilson in New York, and it's now gone to many countries, and it might well be coming here after the summer. So Little Gates is ending, and God's got a plan for Little Gates. But we're going to have a look, because God might show us today. We're going to go straight from here, probably in about an hour and a half time, with some food. A bit of kind of father's type food today, so not cakes and things like that. A bit of protein. So there's time to eat, and if you want to come on that trip, then please just speak with Charlotte. You're very welcome to do so. And if you have any children, then please go and collect them from downstairs. God bless your week. If you need prayer, then please don't leave this room before you've had it. Don't say it can wait till later. Do it now. If you have a child and you want prayer, send somebody else for your child so that you can get that prayer.